Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Squares Contest, $1,000 prize pool, and completely free to enter. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo. It's a $57 weird number SGPN gift card for every bingo hit, exclusively on the SGPN app. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Thursday, February the 2nd, and we are here to handicap a full slate of Premier League action from Friday the 3rd through to Sunday the 5th of February. And joining me, as always, is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Bazza, what's happening?
All right, Malcolm. Yeah, not bad. All thrown off a little bit here because we're recording a little bit earlier than usual. So it's been a little bit manic getting in from work, get the kids fed, race through these games as quick as I could to get on here early.
Yeah, no, not live streaming tonight. And I've rushed everything through. And with valid reason, Baz, I think we'll get this out of the way, Baz, shall we? There was a small mention made on last Sunday's show of my poorly testicle or testicles or whatever. And it's only got worse, Baz. So before I pass out and die, I wanted to record this show as early as humanly possible because the longer the day goes on, the worse it gets. I spent about 10 hours in two different hospitals yesterday. No one seems to know what's going on. They all tell me the same thing and they give me some tablets to take, but I'm not convinced. Like, it's the size of your head. Not just a normal person's head, Barry, either your head and the same consistency also of your head. So if you detect a slight lack of joie de vivre in my handicapping tonight, it's because at any point I feel like I'm just going to blow up and die. So if that happens, if you can heroically carry on by yourself, Barry, till the end of the show, that would be tremendous.
I mean, I did offer to go solo tonight, so fair play, Mal, for playing through the pain barrier, giving the people what they want.
I know, yeah.
The only thing it's upset from my point of view was I was going to have egg and a cup for my supper tonight, live on the stream.
We were, weren't we?
I'm not hungry at the moment, so I'm not going early on the egg and a cup. So that'll have to
wait. I'll be honest.
Yeah, something now.
Constantly looking at the contents of my underpants, Baz, makes me never want to eat a boiled egg ever again. I'll be honest at this point. an ostrich egg. So I might leave egg in a cup for a couple of weeks until the PTSD of the last few days subsides. So we'll leave the eggs there. Oh, shit. Anyway, Baz, as we sit here, we are cup finalists, Baz. Yes. We, the Royal We, Newcastle United. It's the first time. Just a little bit of history, especially for our American listeners. Newcastle beat Southampton over two legs, culminating last Tuesday to make the League Cup final. First time we've reached the final of that competition since 1976, when I was 1 year old and Barry was a twinkle in Mr. P's eye. First time we've reached the final of any competition since 2000, I think it was. So, yeah, it's been a long old famine. But we did it the other night. I was there, Baz. I enjoyed it. You were also there. I did see you. I never saw you to speak to. You were sitting up and over my right-hand shoulder with your Green Bay Packers hat on. So I did see you. I saw your brother, though, Jamie and Andy as well. Had a little chat with them pre-game. But, yeah, what was your... how was your evening? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was worth the trip up. As I say, for me, it was about a 350-mile round trip. So a long old trek up north, but well worth it. You know, we got off to a flyer, didn't we? Settled the nerves straight away. Two early goals and then really coasted through the game, didn't we? And then the red card came late on and I think people started to get a little bit nervous at that point, despite the fact we still had a two-goal cushion. That 10 minutes felt like everyone was getting a little bit nervy, because if they'd got one at that point, we'd have definitely then sort of been hanging on a bit. But it was comfortable enough in the end. One of the good enough game. Certainly the first half was good. Atmosphere was good. Pre-match, first half, and right at the end, it was brilliant to be part of it. And as you say, good for the little ones. We both took I took my eldest. You took both of yours. Good for them to experience that semi-final. Yeah, I said to Chloe, you don't know how lucky you are to be just getting into the football now at this time where we're doing well and you're getting to see big games like this, because we've had to put up with the last 15 years of shite to get here.
Yeah. So, I said exactly the same to my two. When we were walking down, we went for a burger and stuff beforehand, and I said to them both on the way down, I was like, you're seeing something tonight that hasn't happened for over 40 years, trying to explain them. And they weren't sitting with me. I couldn't get tickets together. They were sitting quite nearby, so I could keep an eye on them. And when that first goal went in, I saw Betty picked up Bob and sort of give him a little swing around, a little cuddle. And they're never nice to each other. I haven't seen them be nice to each other for about 7 years. So I remembered that, and I teased her about it on the way home. I said, I saw you being nice to your brother. She was like, yeah, shut up, man. But yeah, it was a weird one. I didn't really enjoy it, but I was like, I don't know why. And we've talked before about I need to change my default emotions in terms of following Newcastle. Now we were good. And especially in the last sort of 20 minutes or so, I don't know if it was, like most things in life, I think the things you build up beforehand always tend to be an anti-climax. Like New Year's Eves and shit like that. The best things are more spontaneous. And then Bruno got sent off and everyone sitting around us spent like 5 minutes trying to work out how many games he'd miss and which games were between that and the final. And it turns out he misses three games, but the final is the fourth game, so he's eligible to play. But no one really knew that at the time. And there was a nervousness, and Southampton got a free kick and Ward-Prowse was stood over it. And it just, I don't know, I got home and I was quite exhausted, and I didn't really make the most of it, I don't think. So, I definitely need to work on how I'm going to support the team going forwards now that we're good. I'm already absolutely, and I don't use this word lightly, Baz, I'm dreading the final. I should be eligible for a ticket. The news came out today about that. I said I'm going to take my dad and all his mates because they're all old and need looking after. And I said I would take them and look after them. So that's all fine, but I'm just dreading it, Baz. Absolutely dreading it. I wish we weren't playing Manchester United. Probably out of anybody. I think they've agitated me more than any club in my life, certainly, at various points. It would probably be Man U, then Liverpool, and anyone else I'd be all right taking on. I just wish it wasn't them.
Historically, when we were good in the past, Man U were always our nemesis, weren't they?
Yeah, so they were the one team who would do us in.
At the top of the tree for the last few years now, we've been nowhere near it. So there is that history, isn't there, of sort of Man United games and cup finals and pipping us to titles. When we did get close to trophies in the past, it was always Man United that tended to get in the way. So certainly a bit of that, but I think we've got every chance. But same as you, I mean, it's great to be there, but it's not going to be an enjoyable occasion. It's going to be fucking nerve-wracking, sick. And, the only thing that will be enjoyable about it will be if we come out with a win at the end of it. And at that point, we'll enjoy it. But progress. For me, if we go there and we lose that final, and you know, nobody expected us to have the season we're having. We've got there. We've given the fans a day at Wembley. That's a bonus. Let's go and fucking win it now. That's the main thing in it. But what will be, case or all.
I mean, I've refused to talk to anyone else about it, apart from this kind of chat we're having when people were booking hotels. I refused all that. And I'm still just not happy sort of talking about it. I've got Man United fans. I'm not refused, who are friends of mine. I'm refusing to engage with any of them. I've got several jokes I wanted to make in the last couple of weeks about Man United players and them. And I can't do it because I know that that player's going to come and score a goal. So I'm on eggshells, like. And I'm going to be on eggshells for the next 4 weeks. So, yeah, psychologically, I need to work on that. In terms of the game, fucking betting-wise, I took Newcastle -1.5 goals. We score after 4 minutes. We're 2-0 after 20 minutes, Baz. This was home and hose. Absolutely. I took Newcastle team total over 1.5 at 2-1. And the game, we've got two up after 20 minutes against a terrible team who we've now got nothing to play for because we've just duffed them up. And then somehow didn't manage to cash. Southampton scored. After that, really nothing happened. We never looked like scoring. They created one chance. But yeah, after 20 minutes, I mean, you could have cashed out both of my bets for nearly the entirety of the profit, but it doesn't really work like that. You took under 2.5 goals, Baz, so that was gone after half an hour once Southampton scored that goal.
Really early, yeah.
And then I was going to ask you a little bit about the corners, because we got... What I remember thinking watching the game was, I wasn't counting them, but I know we got three really early on.
At half time. So I thought, even that's all right, isn't it? If you can pick up the three, hit your break even and then move on from there. But it didn't happen. I think they hit one in the second half. And I sort of said this before, the first leg was, you know, it might be a little bit of a risk, this corners bet with Newcastle. In a cup game, it's just a different dynamic to the game, isn't there? And certainly with Newcastle, having that two-goal cushion, even at 2-1, two-goal cushion, and really not having to push at all in the game, second half, we didn't have a lot of it. It was all Southampton. We were happy to let them have a lot of the ball. And as I say, I'll still keep an eye on these Newcastle corners once we get back to the league action. As I say, the two cup games have let us down on that front, but they are different games and a bit of a different approach, especially a game over two legs and stuff like that. So, yeah, one to watch still.
You're probably right, actually, because while the game was still up for grabs at 1-0 and 2-0 in the first 20 minutes, we had three corners. Yeah. Now you extrapolate that out four and a bit times, so it gets you to 13 or 14 corners. But the game was then put to bed after 20 minutes, so kind of Newcastle just sort of kept the ball, or Southampton tried a few different things. So, yeah, in isolation, it kind of still works for a small sample size, although we're probably just looking for it in there. But, we'll keep an eye on it. The following night was Manchester United 2, Nottingham Forest 0. I took the both teams to score. All of these picks this week were shite, by the way, but I'm going to caveat them in a bit. In fact, I thought this was a little bit unlucky. Man United had one blocked on the line. Forest had one blocked on the line by their own player. Dennis looked like he'd scored. Forest player blocked it on the line. Brennan Johnson missed a one-on-one. They had a double chance at the end where Danilo had a shot saved and Surridge shanked the rebound over the bar. So nothing doing there. And then our one winner of the week, Baz. You took Man United on the handicap -1.5. They got it done later on.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like it was going to be much going on in the game at all, did it? It was a tough game to handicap, wasn't it, given the 3-0 deficit from the first leg. I thought Forrest created a couple of chances in the first half, and I was sitting there just thinking, God, just get the one. Just get one. And then build on that. You know, I might have got a little bit excited had they got the first goal and then had a bit of a push. But realistically, you know, Manu just kept them at arm's length, didn't they? Did what they had to do and then, you know, took the chances when they came in the second half. So got that win, which was the only good thing out of a pretty poor week of betting this midweek. I mean, you know, it was slim pickings anyway, wasn't it, this midweek slate?
Yeah, we threw a couple of extra players in. I took Luton and Cardiff in the Championship over 2.5, finished 1-0, just a bad pick. Maybe better days ahead for Cardiff, and Sabri Lamouchi will get them playing and scoring some goals, but it wasn't. It was too early for them on this occasion, so that one was dog shit. You went to Spain, Baz, and looked all right after 65 minutes, and then somehow contracted to lose this as well.
Two things. I mean, I'd pointed out Barcelona had a clean sheet. I thought Barcelona had a win, and nil was a good bet, but I put the under 2.5 up was the main pick. 65 minutes to go, 1-0 up. So half-time, I'm looking lovely. No teach, absolutely fine with that. 1-0, 65 minutes. 80 minutes, 2-0, and I'm thinking, oh, a little bit nervy here. Are they going to go and get a third? And they didn't get a third. Well, they did, but it was at the other end. Own goal, 85 minutes, own goal to give us a 2-1. It took the win to nil away, and it took the under 2.5 away. A little bit of a sickener, that one. But, yeah, just it felt like it was the right pick. It was going well for so long, and then safe. Poor week all round. I did pick the winner in the Man United game, but beyond that, you know.
Yeah,
tough, well, I'm putting midweek slate for us there.
Putting it down to historical EFL Cup and testicle related distractions, but we've got extenuating circumstances. And we have got a full slate of Prem games starting tomorrow night, Friday night. Seems like ages. Obviously, there's FA Cup last weekend, so we've had two full weeks without Prem. We've had a couple of nothing weeks, Baz. It was probably like 3 weeks ago. I hit all the dogs. The week before was the week you'd hit the corners and everything else as well. So it's been a couple of weeks since we had a proper stellar week. We've been just meandering along, Baz, between now and then. So starting tomorrow night, we can get stuck right into it. Firstly, I'll tell you about our sponsors, headline sponsors on the Premier League Gambling Podcast, which are the WinBet, the official online sports book of the SGPN. WinBet is active in a bunch of states and tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WinBet's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here. The Super Bowl, WinBet has you covered. Great promos, odds and payouts happening right now at WinBet. Ready to play? Sign up to receive a special offer. Bet 100, get 100, limited state availability, and of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parley of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. Though to choose from, head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know that we sent you. That sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone who knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The Big Game Squares Contest. This is fun, Baz. We play this. SGPN are giving away $1,000 in the Big Game Squares Contest. Completely free to enter. Follow Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify and give them a rating. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win a free Big Game Square. And also make sure to sign up to the SGPN app and get your own Big Game Bingo card full of your favourite Big Game prop bets. If you get bingo, you'll win a $57 SGPN gift card. The only catch is you must be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. It's free to play and exclusively on the SGPN app. Okie doke. So, Friday night, Friday the 3rd of February, 8 p.m. kickoff, which is a 3 p.m. Eastern time kickoff between Chelsea and Fulham. Chelsea are the 3-5 favourites, -166. The draws at 3-1. Fulham are 9-2, +550. Chelsea have signed everybody, literally everyone. If they haven't signed you at all, you want to get in touch with your agent and ask why.
Fuck knows how it works. Haven't signed Forrest. Forrest went and signed them instead, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the true. Forrest signed anyone and Chelsea didn't one. I've got no idea how it works. Everyone's saying Chelsea are really clever by using loopholes. I don't fucking get it. They signed Enzo Fernandez for 105 mil. Honestly, never heard of him until I had to ask Bob. Like, Bob's the oracle. And he told me that he's the kid who scored the winning penalty for Argentina. You know, little holding midfield, that type. 105 mil seems a lot. They add that to Mudrick, Badia Shield, João Felix. Signed a fullback as well, which is named Mari, maybe, for another gazillion quid. I can't even remember. So yeah, and they let Jorginho join Arsenal for 12 mil. So if this was 45 aside, you'd fancy them, like, but they could only play 11 of them. I can't imagine old Graham Potter's going to be thrilled with that either. It doesn't seem to be his thing. Like, he doesn't seem the sort of manager to say, yeah, here you go, Graham. He has 27, like, world-class multi-million pound players. Sort that lot out. Like, but anyway, time will tell, like. Fulham are 3 places and 2 points in front of Chelsea as we stand. Chelsea, they're all over the place, really, the recent form. 1-2, drawn 2. Lost 2 of the last 6. However, 7 of their last 8 games have gone under 2.5. The only one that went over 2.5 was against Fulham, actually. A lot of these games are repeats of games that were played just kind of the week between Christmas and New Year, or the week, maybe the week before FA Cup. So these games were played just a few weeks ago. Fulham have got kind of this default reputation of being quite expansive and attacking and also shaky at the back. They have lost their last 2 games 1-0. After winning 4 in a row before that. There was the 1-0 against Tottenham, and then they lost 1-0 at Newcastle late doors. They looked okay at Newcastle, as I said, but they never really looked like threatening, apart from that daft penalty. Chelsea lost 1-0 to Manchester City, beat Palace 1-0, and got a 0-0 with Liverpool. I like the under 2.5 goals here, Baz. I think Chelsea might get it done. I can't see them cracking out and paying a whole load of free-flowing football with however many of the new signings get in there. The under 2.5 is 9-10 at -111, Baz.
Okay. I'm not going to say too much because I didn't write any notes for this one. I've just realised when I come onto the stream, I haven't got any notes for the first game, Chelsea. But I had looked at the game and I had picked out a play. But I'm going with Chelsea. I think they will get it done. I know they played a couple of weeks ago and lost 2-1 to Fulham. Chelsea were the better side in that game until the point where João Félix went off. He didn't just go off. He
got sent right off.
Got sent right off, didn't he? The stats for the game, Chelsea XG for the game was 2.17 to Fulham's 0.98. So it shows you Chelsea did have the chances in the game. Down to 10 men for at least half an hour. I think had it been the other way around, it was 1-1 at the time, I reckon Chelsea would have went on and nicked it. Fulham have hit a bit of a downturn after a really good start following the World Cup. As you say, defeats to Newcastle and Spurs and drew against Sunderland at the weekend. I'm looking at Chelsea goals. Chelsea do... They've been a bit... They've struggled a bit in front of goal. But let's be honest, they've signed a few attacking players to try and sort that out. Just one or two. I mean, I don't know, as you say, which one of them are going to play, who's going to play, who's going to be playing where. I'd love to see anyone try and predict the starting 11 for Chelsea this weekend. But Fulham also give up the most chances, more chances than any team in the league. Their XG against stats, something like 40. They've only conceded, I think, 30. So they're sort of overachieving a little bit in terms of goals conceded, but how long they can hold up that for if they're giving away a lot of big chances in games. So I'm taking Chelsea to score 2 or more goals here. I reckon Chelsea will win this 2-0. I did also look at the handicap. I think Chelsea to score 2 or more goals is around 8 to 11. But if you want to be a bit more ambitious, I like Chelsea -1 goal as well, 7 to 4. Is it better, like?
For someone who didn't have any notes there, Baz, you had quite a lot of chat.
It's all in my head.
It's all in your head. You've got a big head, Baz.
Exactly.
Unfortunately for me. As big as my testicle. Everton against Arsenal is a Saturday lunchtime, 12:30, which is a 7:30 Eastern time kickoff, where Everton are the 15-2 home puppies plus 750. The draws at 7-2 plus 350. Arsenal are the 2-5 minus 250 favourites. Baz, take it away.
Yeah, so Everton coming into this on the back of 4 defeats, which gives them 5 defeats and a draw since the World Cup. They've also had a 3-game losing streak prior to the World Cup, so absolutely terrible form. Sean Dyche has come in. to try and rescue them. I don't mind the appointment. I don't mind Dyche and you know, listening to Talk Sport and stuff like that on the radio. I think most Everton fans are happy with Dyche coming in. Think he'll give them a chance, but I think they expected him to get a little bit of help in the transfer window. The lack of transfer activity for Everton was absolutely astonishing, wasn't it? I mean, especially having sold Anthony Gordon to Newcastle for 45 million, you think they'll definitely reinvest that as a minimum. They'll definitely replace him as a minimum. And they're crying out for a striker, aren't they, as well? And they come away with nothing. And I don't think it was for the want to try, and it seems they tried knocking on a few doors.
No, they all went to Bournemouth instead, didn't they?
And nobody fancied it. Like, so, you know, you heard them try and saw from Watford. There's a few other names. And I was reading today, trying to get Andre Ayew on a free.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I've read, fucking hell, he's awful.
I think he's chose Fulham instead, I think.
Jesus.
So they're struggling.
He's terrible.
They're struggling even to get people who haven't got a club to come to them. So, yeah, will they get a new manager bounce? If they're going to, it's going to be a big ask because they've got Arsenal this week and then they've got Liverpool away next week. Big derby game. Liverpool aren't in great form, so they might fancy themselves to go to Anfield and get to him. But this one's going to be a tough one. I mean, Arsenal lost a close one versus Man City recently. And prior to that, it was 5 wins and a draw in their last 6 games. Of the 5 wins, only one of them didn't also hit the over 2.5. So I looked at Arsenal to win an over 2.5, and it comes out at 6-5. And I think at that price, you're not getting much more than the 10-11 for over 2.5 in the game. So I'm sort of taking out the chance of Everton having that little bit of a bounce, especially as Everton have scored in all but one of their 6 games since the World Cup. So they are getting a goal most games. The first thing I looked at was Arsenal winning over 2.5, but I think it's not much over the 2.5 price. So I'll just take over 2.5 here at 10-11.
Yeah, well, you pretty much covered my entire handicap there, really. It was a question mark is, will there be any new manager bounce? And they've only picked up 1.7 games. In that last game against West Ham, that was really a must win, and they didn't show much at all. Arsenal's last 2 league wins have been really good. That 2-0 against Tottenham and 3-2 against Manchester United. So I was trying to factor in some kind of reaction to the Sean Dyche appointment. And as you just pointed out, Baz, since the restart, Everton have scored in 4 successive games until that West Ham one. So I think they could maybe get one here. They'll run around and try a lot, maybe get a goal. Arsenal should ultimately beat them. So I was factoring in the same things as you, but I came down with both teams to score at yes. But that's a bit of a bigger price, Baz. That's plus 105, 21-20. I think maybe if you'd have seen that, because you were dancing around the entire same things as me. Although, you like to say, you've got the possibility of Arsenal winning 3-0, like in yours, where that would scut my mind. So, yeah, both teams to score for me at 21-20, plus 105. Carrying on with the 3 p.m. /8 a.m. Eastern Time kickoffs, we have Aston Villa against Leicester City. Aston Villa are a shade of odds on 20-21, minus 105. The draw's at 13-5, plus 260. Leicester at 14-5, plus 280. Villa, 4 unbeaten, won the last 2. Couple of narrow wins. They're doing okay without blowing your socks off, Villa, aren't they? Leicester broke the 4-game losing streak with a 2-all draw against Brighton. Played okay, actually. Nearly won the game. Brighton equalised quite late on. This immediately sort of struck me as having goals in it. Villa are averaging 2.6 total in their home games. And Leicester's away games are averaging 3.15, which is quite a high number. Leicester look slightly in better form than they have been recently. They look a little bit healthier. So I'm going to take the over 2.5 goals, Baz, price of 9-10, minus 110.
Yeah, so Villa unbeaten in four in the league, as you say, aren't they? You know, that come after a loss to Liverpool first game back. And as you say, Leicester, although they've got two wins in the FA Cup, the league form's awful, isn't it? They were very fortunate to come away with a draw against Brighton last time out. And that is the only point for them since the World Cup, having lost the previous four to that. They've got Maddison back now, which should make a difference for them. He is their main man. But I think they'll still struggle here. I just looked at it, you know, you've got a team with no win in five playing away against a team who are unbeaten in four. And I think Villa are close enough to evens are worth taking here, 19 to 20. So I'll take Villa to win at 19 to 20.
I did think the other, when I was looking at this game, was that Villa seemed like a really big price. The first thing I looked at, I would have had Villa a little bit shorter, like 8 to 11 kind of thing.
I think it was bigger than I expected, I thought. Just given their respective forms, Villa at home in reasonable form, not losing games, and Leicester struggling to win anything on the road. I think anywhere close to evens is a good price. So I'll take that.
Villa on the money line for Baz. Next up, 3 p.m. again, is Brentford against Southampton. Brentford are 11 to 13, minus 117 home favourites. The draw is at 13 to 5, plus 260. And Southampton at 16 to 5, plus 320, Bazza.
Yeah, so Brentford are unbeaten in five games since the World Cup. Two draws and three wins. Just bringing up my fixtures. That's league games, I should say. They did lose to West Ham in the FA Cup. They've only lost once at home in the league. That was a defeat against Arsenal, who have beaten pretty much everyone along the way. Hard to work out Southampton. They lost both ties recently against Newcastle in the EFL Cup, as we know. In between that, they did beat... Who did they beat in the FA Cup? Blackpool last weekend. Yeah. So they have had a win there. They've also had cup wins against Man City and Palace. So good, some decent form in the cups until they come up against the mighty Newcastle. But in the league, it is four defeats and a single win against Everton since the World Cup. So not good form at all. So Brentford at home would be a pick. I would fancy, I'm looking at the price there, 17 to 20. Again, I thought Brentford or a bigger price, much like Villa, than I expect them to be. 17 to 20 is definitely a price I like, certainly one for the accumulators. But Brentford at home have had both teams to score in five of their last six. Southampton, away from home, have hit both teams to score in their last five away games. So the both teams to score is the one I'm going to go with, just on those two little trends there. Both teams to score 4 to 5. That's the pick for me, yeah.
Yep, fair enough. Like you say, Brighton unbeaten in forever. Southampton be doing all right. The manager talks a good game. I thought he conducted himself quite well and talked a bit of sense. He did not one of these sort of old timers who just talk in cliches after the two games with Newcastle. However, they do just still keep getting beat. Like, their only league win is against Everton, who everybody beats. And they never really look like beating Newcastle at all in those two games. This was really, really easy. You touched on it, Baz. Brentford at the price, I would have had them shorter again, same as Villa. This is really easy. They're the better team. They're really good at home. They're in form. And they're playing a team who could be getting beat. And the price is absolutely outstanding. 11 to 13. Brentford on the money line, minus 117 for me. Next up is another 3 o'clock game. We've got two more 3 o'clock Saturday kickoffs. This is Brighton against Bournemouth. Brighton are 1-3, minus 300. The draw is at 17-4, plus 425. And Bournemouth are at 8-1. Brighton are very good, Baz, is my opening gambit here. They've won five of the last eight in the league. They beat Liverpool in the cup last weekend as well. The last five games, that's five league games, they've scored 2, 3, 4, 2, and 3. Add another couple against Liverpool last weekend in the cup. Bournemouth have got one home draw against Forest as their only point since the restart in December. Their last five games goals scored are 1-0, 0-0, 0-0. So this all points to Brighton for me being at least two goals better than them, and I think they are. I think Bournemouth are the worst team in the league Brighton minus 1.5 goals is the titchy bit over even money. It's 24-23, which is a price of plus 104. But to all intents and purposes, even money. Brighton on the handicap bars. Can't see any other result. Bournemouth a shite.
Love it. Love it. I've got everything written down the same. Brighton in great form. 5 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. The loss came against Arsenal, and the draw versus Leicester was a game they really should have won. Leicester, the result was sandwiched by 2 wins against Liverpool. And now they come up against a Bournemouth side who've got 1 draw and 6 losses since the World Cup. Bournemouth have conceded 17 since then, since the World Cup, and all 4 of their league defeats have been to nil, and all of them by 2 goals or more. So Brighton, minus 1.5 on the handicap, at a smidge over evens. I've got here, looks a great bet, and for me, it's the best bet of the week, Brighton to win by 2 or more. That would be my lock for this week. I love that bet. Evens is brilliant price.
Team right, Baz. Have you... Bournemouth signed this great big striker from Belgium. League, 6'7", big lump. Have you seen the worst hat-trick of all time that he's famously scored this season?
No.
No, get a little look on Twitter when you have a look. Just, I can't remember even his name, sorry. Quite insulting, really, but... he scores a hat-trick in the league. I mean, which is no, I mean, I haven't scored any professional hat-tricks, Baz, let's be honest. But the first one, he's kind of about a yard out. For some reason, takes ages to kick it, like ages. In my mind, I remember it being about 40 seconds, probably not, until the defender comes back and tries to tackle him. And the defender misses him, and he's still stood on the line and manages to sort of shank it over the line from half a yard out. He then goes one-on-one with the keeper, shanks it at the keeper, comes back to his feet. He's then got an open goal, which he shanks, and it dribbles in off the post. And then his third one's a penalty, which he shanks, and the goalkeeper dives out the way, and it just rolls down the middle really soft in for the third goal. The three, individually, the worst goals you've ever seen, but as a cumulative effort for a hat-trick, it's that bad. It's quite impressive, right? So, yeah, have a little look for that. I'll try and drag his name out if I can. Final 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday is Manchester United against Crystal Palace, where Manchester United are the 2-5 favourites, minus 250. The draw is at 15-4, plus 375. And Crystal Palace are 7-1 underdogs. I'll throw this across to you, Baz.
Yeah, so it's only a few weeks since they last played this game, didn't they? Played each January. Man U cruising in that game, really. Went up in the first half through Bruno Fernandes.
They fucking weren't cruising, Baz.
Until the 91st minute.
You can't going to be comfortable 1-0 up. They weren't comfortable.
Well, there should have been more than 1-0 up.
Well, they weren't.
Let's have a look at the stats from that game, shall we?
1-1, Baz. They're the stats. Finish 1-1.
Listen, they were comfortable. They should have won it at a canter. They didn't. I'll give you that. But
1-1.
Right. I can't even find it now. Where's the 1-1?
Oh, you have found it.
Yeah, we've got it. So
right, come on then.
That game, 0.5 for Palace, 2.08 for Man United. Total shots 15, big chances created, 2 for Man United, none for Palace. There was plenty there. But Man U should have won that game, definitely. Anyway, moving on. Palace nicked the late equaliser in that one. That result and the 3-2 defeat to Arsenal recently are the only slip-ups for Man United, with them winning their other 9 since the break. It's crazy, isn't it? We're looking at some of these form, and you've got some teams who haven't been involved in the League Cup or went out in the third round of the FA Cup. Some of these teams who didn't have games to catch up on as well have played 4 or 5 games. And now Man U played 11 games since we returned, I think. It's a pretty big difference compared to...
Yeah, I think they've got 8 between now and the final on the 26th.
No, they've got 6. We've got 3 games between now and the final. They've got 6. They've got a midweek game against Leeds as a rescheduled Premier League game. And they've got the 2 games against Barcelona in the Europa League as well. So, yeah, really busy schedule for them. But as I say, they have... apart from the Palace draw and the Arsenal defeat, 1-9. I haven't gone into loads of detail on the notes for this one. Of those 9 wins, only 2 of them weren't by 2 or more goals. Palace have failed to score in four of the last six league games, so Palace aren't scoring many goals. Man U at home, I like Man U on the handicap at 11 to 10. Man U minus 1.5, win by two or more. Easy, 11 to 10.
Man U handicap, okie doke. So yeah, Man U, no winning two league games. Palace might be the most boring team in the league. The last two results have been okay. 0-0 against Newcastle and a 1-1 against Manchester United. That does seem like forever ago, didn't it, that Man U game? So this is one of my best bets this year, Baz. Palace will compete and ultimately not threaten. Manchester United will do enough. This will probably be 0-0 at half-time. If you want to, I like a little half-time draw. Because on your half-time draw, Man U will score a shite goal after about 68 minutes and another shite one after about 84, just like they did the other night. 2-0 Manchester United. Under 2.5 goals, Baz. Is it even money plus 100? There's my pick. Next up, we go to... Oh, there is another Saturday 3 o'clock game, and it's Wolverhampton Wanderers against Liverpool, where Wolves are 3-1 plus 300. The draw is 11-4 plus 275. Liverpool are a shade of odds on at 11-13 minus 117. Wolves are showing better form under Lopetegui. You can see what he's doing and how it's manifesting itself on the pitch. They lost to City last time. There's no disgrace in that. Most everybody will. They beat West Ham at home, though, before that, and got a good point at Villa. Lost at home 1-0 to Manchester United, but played okay. Liverpool have got no win in three and were duffed up in the cup last week by Brighton. And they're missing another centre-back. I think Canardi is done. He's done his hammy as well. The last two away games, they got beat 3-0 and 3-1 off Brentford and Brighton. Wolves are organised. I give them every chance here. I'm going to take Wolves at home at 3-1, Baz.
Nice, like it. I mean, they're playing for the third time in as many weeks, aren't they? We had two recent FA Cup ties.
Yeah.
Liverpool were very fortunate to come away with a draw in that first tie and then won the replay 1-0. Liverpool had a clean sheet last time out against Chelsea. Prior to that, they went 8 in a row without a clean sheet. So they are conceding goals regularly. Wolves at home, the form reads win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. Lost last time out at home, so that you will win. So the pattern fits, you'll be glad to know. Liverpool away from home, 4 defeats in the last 6. Replay win versus Wolves is their only win in the last 6 in all competitions I've got written down. Is that's mad, that isn't it? Is that true?
I'll be right, yeah.
I read things like this out sometimes and think, is that right? But yeah, that's right. They've lost, lost 2, drawn 2. Lost 3, drawn 2, won 1 in the last 6. And that was, an FA Cup replay. So not good form at all. There's no sign at all that they've turned a corner yet or look like turning a corner and getting back out to what they... what they were. So I'll take Wolves again to make a game of this.
Just before you pull this bet out, Baz, do you want me to nip and get the lemonade out the fridge? Or
no, it's just I'm not backing Wolves. Taking them to get on the score sheet. I'm taking both teams to score.
That's right.
Both teams to score at 7-10. I'll have a bit of that.
Just had you were building up. You were taking a long run up there, Baz, in a shandy bet. You've avoided it so far. That was going to be Wolves. Wolves draw no better, Wolves double chance. I thought that.
I've gone with both teams to score here. Just simply on. I've always fancy Liverpool to get on the score sheet, but at the minute they'll always concede as well. So both teams to score just looked an easy tap in.
Yeah, I'll leave the pop where it is for the time being. Next up, we go to the tea time Saturday game, which is a 5:30 kickoff between Newcastle and West Ham United, where Newcastle are 11-18 favourites, minus 163. The draw is 11-4 plus 275. West Ham are 5-1. This is you, Baz.
Yeah, so I've got, Newcastle at home are just unbeatable at the moment, aren't they? I don't like to use the word unbeatable because then they'll go and get beat. But I've used it. I've done it. You have to go back to April versus Liverpool last season for the last defeat for Newcastle at St James's Park. Recently, 0-0 against Leeds. That came in the middle of 4 home wins in all competitions. West Ham had a win against Everton the other week in a really important game that stopped the rot after three defeats and a draw prior to that. They haven't done much in the transfer market, have they? They've brought in Ings. I'm trying to think what else they've done. Still not a lot, have they? Ings is missing anyway. Scamacca's still out. So they've probably still got Antonio leading the line, who's a little bit shit these days. Newcastle games have all been low scoring at times, haven't they, recently? But they are creating loads of chances. In a lot of these games where it's been low scoring, we should have came away with more, and sort of shooting myself in the foot not taking them. Ironically, quite a lot of them get wasted by Sean Longstaff, who managed to find his scoring boots the other day and got a couple. West Ham haven't been too bad defensively in recent games, but before, I think you go back to when we first come back after the World Cup, they had a 5-game streak after the World Cup where they conceded 2 or more. And Newcastle to score 2 or more here is around 5-6. And it's a pick I'm going to go with. I think Newcastle at home are going to be a tough proposition for anyone. We will create the chances. Will we take them? We'll take at least one and we'll win the game. But I'll back us to score 2 or more here against West Ham, who have conceded 2 or more in plenty of the games in recent times.
Price is up, Baz?
5-6. Newcastle over 1.5 team goals.
I cannot tell you how much I dislike that, Baz. So the last 4 league games for Newcastle, we've had 3 0-0 draws and a 1-0 win against Fulham. Fulham missed a pen. Newcastle scored in the 89th minute. I just get the feeling Newcastle, this is more like an eye test thing. I think we're riding our luck a little bit. They're obviously going to be missing Bruno, who's a key player. Isaac is going to be missing, I think, a concussion, which leaves us a bit short of outlets up top. And Callum Wilson's just stopped scoring. And I think we've sailed close to the wind. In a lot of those games, the Fulham, Arsenal, even Palace, the 2 games against Southampton, you know, that first one was a coin toss. Yeah, we were better than them. But there's something telling me, Baz, there's a defeat coming. And it's telling me it's coming on Saturday. Give me West Ham at 5-1 is my pick for this one. We will move on to Sunday.
You better move on because I'm fucking astonished.
Well, you don't have to, luckily, do you? I'm having it. Yeah, we will move on. We'll discuss this on Sunday. Nottingham Forest against Leeds is a 2 p.m. kickoff, which is a 9 a.m. Eastern time kickoff, where Nottingham Forest are 13-8 favourites, plus 162. The draws are 12-5, plus 240. Leeds are at 17-10, plus 170. Nottingham Forest, unbeaten in 4 in the league. They signed all the other players that Chelsea didn't sign, as you pointed out earlier on. Beaten twice comfortably by Manchester United in the Cup. Leeds have drawn 3 of their last 4 games. They've looked a bit more solid recently, kept a couple of clean sheets. Brentford and Newcastle up there. And getting a bit more help up front now. Bamford's back and Jorginho Ruta we're going with. They both played against Accrington last week in the Cup, looked okay. So more options up top for Leeds. I still don't think Forest are very good, Baz. And if you're putting Chris Wood and or John Joe Shelby in the team, that's not going to move the needle as much as I've admired what they've done for Newcastle. Forest shouldn't be favourites against anyone in this division, home or away, against Bournemouth maybe. That's it. That's the only time I could make Forest favourite. It's home to Bournemouth. There's no way they should be favourites here. Leeds' underlying metrics recently have been really, really good. XG and shots and things like that. They've been in the top 5 or 6 of the league. Leeds are due a win. Leeds are definitely going to win here. This is, if we put locks out on this show, this is the one, Baz. Leeds, plus 170, 17-10. Take us to the bank.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all, because I normally put my underdog out at the end of the show. When we've got a full Premier League slate, I've always been picking my underdog pick of the week, and Leeds was the pick for me this week. I think I agree at the prices. I think Leeds are due a win. I think it is coming. They're playing better football at the moment. You know, they've put the goals away in the FA Cup, and they all beat against lower opposition, but you know, you've still got to put them away. They scored 5 against Cardiff, 3 against Accrington. I know they're not of anywhere near the same calibre here. But yeah, I agree. I think Leeds are on the way to win. And Forest, the problem with Forest is they just can't score, can they? I mean, they had chances across both legs against Man United. Some good chances. Yeah. But they've come away with no goal in 180 minutes against Man United. And it's the story of the season. And as you say, you add Chris Wood into that, and he doesn't exactly... We know he'll miss a lot more than he scores. And I just don't see them getting enough goals. So my pick for this game is actually the unders. I think under 2.5 here is a good price, 10 to 11, because I just can't see Forrest getting more than maybe he's won. And I don't know. I think the unders is a good bet. But no problem at all, your pick for Leeds. I'm also taking Leeds as my underdog for this week. So, yeah, like it.
Double it up with West Ham, Baz. We'll be rich. Final game on the card is probably the game of the weekend. Tottenham Hotspur against Manchester City. It's a 4:30 kickoff, which is an 11:30 Eastern time start. Tottenham are Burnley and Birdie 100-30 plus 333. The draw is 3-1. Manchester City are 13-18 minus 138. What you got for this one, Baz?
Yeah, so this one's another one that's come around quick, hasn't it? It's only 2 weeks ago since they last played, with Man City winning that one 4-2. A bit of a crazy game, wasn't it? Man City had sort of controlled the first half without scoring, and then 44th minute, 45th minute, and Spurs went in 2-0 up. All got very excited, and then 10 minutes into the second half, they were quickly 3-2 down. And Man City had a late one to make it 4-2. So Spurs are very patchy on. They seem to pick up a couple of wins. People start to think they might have turned the corner. And then they revert back to being a little bit shite. So the form line is littered with two game winning streaks. You look at the form, it's like win 2, lose 2, win 2, lose 2, draw,
yeah.
Win 2, lose 2, draw. They never go on a streak of more than 2 of anything. And they won the last 2. So they're not going to win this one, because that would be 3. So they beat Preston 3-0.
Good, very good.
All the form is 2s. That's it. They can't hit 3s, Malcolm. That's
no, it. you've said, Baz.
No. Well, no, I will point out they did once hit 3. But yeah, they're not going to hit 3 here anyway. They're just... Even in the few games they've won since the World Cup, they're picking up the odd wins here and there, but they've not looked good in any of them, I don't think. I still think back to that Palace game where I backed Spurs to score 2 or more, or I backed them in the handicap. They would come out 4-0 winners. It was the biggest scandal of a 4-0. It was never a 4-0 game. And they've had a few like that where they're winning games against the run of play. I mean, most of it comes off the back of Kane, who's still as reliable as ever. He's still getting all the goals for them. I mean, Kane's probably on target for scoring about 35 goals this season and still won't get the golden boot, which is absolutely obscene, isn't it? Son's completely off the boil, isn't he? And I watched that cup game against Preston and he scored a couple, and the commentators were making a big thing about, oh, he needed that, that'll get him right back into form. I don't think 2 goals against Preston suddenly gets you back into form, does it? City with 7 wins and 2 defeats and a draw since the World Cup in all competitions. They have had a tough run of games. They've played a lot of the top sides. They've played Man U, were the only side to beat them out of the top teams. They've beaten Chelsea twice. They beat Liverpool in the EFL Cup. They've beaten Arsenal. They've beat Spurs. So I think overall it can be trusted here to get a result. 8-11 is a little bit short. So I'm going to tag on the overs to give us 6-4 for City and over 2.5 goals.
City in over. And what price? 6-4. That's a nice price. Yeah, you're pointing out Tottenham's inconsistent in terms of results, but they're also inconsistent in terms of in-game, like you said. I mean, 2-0 up and City lose 4-2. The only normal game they've played was that Fulham one, where they kind of had nothing game and they won 1-0. But they go from being half-decent to shite. That Crystal Palace game is a great example where they were never going to win that game 4-0. And then 20 minutes later, won the game 4-0. They were shite against Preston in the first half last week. They signed Pedro Porro from Sporting Lisbon. That's about all I can tell you on that one. He's a right back. Antonio Conte has been poorly, had some kind of abdominal stuff going on, but I'm sure, I assume there's a whole load of other dour Italian coaches who've been teaching them to play Catenaccio in his absence. Manchester City look to be returning to form to me. Beat Wolves 3-0 last time. Importantly, though, they beat Arsenal 1-0. I think Tottenham might score, yeah. But I think City will edge it. I think City are considerably better than them. This fits into your bet as well, Baz, because I've got City minus 1.5 goals. It's 7-4. I do think Tottenham might score, though, so that lines everything. Man City are going to win 3-1, so we cash the over 2.5. Man City, and then City on the handicap. Get in the queue. Baz, both at plus money prices here. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is the handicaps done. So we've got dogs and parlays. I've got one of each, Baz. I've started following your lead, but it looks like we've, it sounds like we've got the same dog.
Underdog leads, both on leads, are we?
Underdog leads, plus 170. Considered throwing West Ham in, but probably just a little bit extravagant. Yeah, and Wolves were my other options at 3-1 or 2-1, but yeah. I'll stick with their... I like this Leeds play a lot. I don't think Forest are very good at all.
Well, we got
you
a parlay?
Yeah,
I've got one. Do you want to go, you want me to go first?
Yeah, I do want you to go first.
Give me a second then, because I just had it on my screen and I took it off my screen. I've deviated a little bit, so it's normally a team goals treble.
Yeah.
It's two team goals and then a handicap. I'm taking Newcastle minus 1.5. I'm over 1.5. Sticking to my guns on that one. Newcastle and Brentford to score two or more. And Brighton on the handicap minus 1.5. Treble pays 5.5 to 1 plus 550. And for anyone who wants to be a bit more ambitious, I'd consider chucking Liverpool in to score two goals, which you won't like. But that takes it up to 11-1. But I'm going with treble. Newcastle and Brentford, over 1.5. Brighton in the handicap, minus 1.5 at 5.5 to 1. And I'll also be tagging in Liverpool to push that up to 11-1. I'll take both of them.
Okay, well, my parlay is not a million miles off that, Baz. It's two of the three legs of the same games. I've got Brentford to win, 11-13. Brighton on the handicap. And the third leg I've thrown in is the over 2.5 goals in Villa versus Leicester. And that gets to plus 620. So just a little bit north of 5-1 for that. So we fetched out very similar prices and very similar picks there, Baz. So fingers crossed, we're seeing it pretty clearly this weekend. Anything you need to tell everyone about? I mean, be as quick as you like, Baz, because my knacker's throbbing away here.
I've got another. Goal scorer.
All right, well, get on with it.
7-4 shot, Mitoma anytime for Brighton. Both fancy Brighton to get goals this week. Mitoma scored the winner against Liverpool in the FA Cup. He also scored in three of the last four. Scored against Leicester, Everton and Arsenal. So he's in good form at the minute. 7-4 is a good price against, with Brighton at home in a game where we think they're going to win comfortably. So Mitoma at 7-4, I think, is a great price. I might back him to score two or more as well and get up there.
Yeah, he's in good form. Any fantasy players who listen, that is the advised play this week. The darling play is Mitoma in, Almiron out. That's what everybody's doing. So if you're a fantasy player, that's where you need to be on that one. Right, Baz, are we okay now for me to go and perch precariously somewhere?
Yeah,
right,
no
okay.
Problem with that.
Thank you very much, Baz. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you can send us your thoughts and prayers, that'd be much appreciated. Usual places. Get on the website and get on the app because there's all those Super Bowl contests, which I'm too pained to tell you about again. I've told you twice already in the last hour. But the Super Bowl squares and the bingo are on there and loads of good fun and free and the prizes are excellent. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend punts. Good luck with all your bets. And until then, we'll see you down the road. Cheers.